On today's Re:Stomp podcast, we'll preview the game upcoming against Collingwood. Opportunity to bounce back for the Freo boys after a disappointing game last week against Gold Coast. We've got Griffin Logue and putting his contract on hold. Love that phrase, contract on hold. That worked out well last year. Nat Fyfe aiming for a round 12 comeback. Connor Blakely and his business. We'll give it a bit of a pump up right after we get the Chief on board. Start wearing purple first with Gogo Bordello.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time, so yeah.
Welcome to the Re:Stomp podcast. My name is Brett Jojo McDonald, and as always, I'm joined by a man who's invented a meal between lunch and afternoon tea. That is Greg the Chief Dwyer.
Yes, hello Jojo.
Good afternoon, evening.
Good evening. Well, it's going to be afternoon, wasn't it?
Well, it was meant to be afternoon.
Yeah.
What happened there?
What happened? Mate, bloke's got to eat, Jojo. Don't go starting your long lunch, caper.
Mate, you should for someone who runs this story of, you know, Ponzi this and Polo that and
yeah,
I'm off to late lunch.
Wasn't it late lunch? You should have seen the line at the soup kitchen. Took 2 hours to get to the front of the queue. So,
oh dear,
we're back, Jada. We got it all covered. So
have we?
Yeah, absolutely. When have we not got it covered? Or when have we got it covered?
Well, I don't know, but hang on a minute. Just reference, you sent me a text message this afternoon.
Yeah.
I don't know, you're against sharing text messages because you don't like the truth coming out, but...
Oh, no.
No, what did you say? You said, shit, I'm going to be really underprepared.
I never said that. This is a no-swearing podcast. Right? What are you, Tom Morris's mate?
You did say that. I can publish that. I can publish that text.
Hey, Tommy Morris's mate, are you hanging out with him?
But think if you're heading off to the soup kitchen, it's not really going to take all day, is it? It's pretty much you line up, get your soup, nail the soup, and got plenty of time to prepare.
Inflation.
Sounds like it was more of a long late lunch.
Inflation. People are doing it tough. There's a line at the soup kitchen. You should have seen it. So, yes, but we'll get back on. Got to eat, Jay. We'll get back on track. But no, I can do two things at once. So did a bit of scouting around when I was standing in line.
Sounding almost as defensive about this as you were of people's criticisms of Josh Tracy.
I wasn't defensive.
You're a little bit defensive. Well, you wrote an article about it, didn't you? That's pretty defensive.
You've got to nip that stuff in the bud very quickly, Jojo. I saw a couple of people. I thought, no, we're putting this to bed very quickly. So,
He doesn't deserve it, does he?
He doesn't. He doesn't. How can you, 20 years old, you know, how can you?
Do you know, when I read that and, you know, you sometimes send it through to me and give me about 3 seconds to say, should I publish this or should I not?
Yeah.
But I read it and it gave me vibes of thinking back to everyone giving Matt Tavener a hard time.
Exactly.
And, you know, Tab's obviously a rookie listed player himself. You know, it's not like he was a top 10 draft pick. And not that your draft slot should make a difference, but I think it does. You know, this guy's been passed over in the whole entire national draft. We picked him up in the rookie draft. He's still, 19, 20 years old?
Yep.
And he's coming in to fulfill a role for us because Tavener and Lobb, who are our two first-choice key forwards, are down injured or COVID-related outs, whatever it was. I can't remember. Mm. But don't give him a hard time. Like, he puts his body on the line. The effort's there. Sure, maybe he's not coming out and clunking, you know, 5 contested marks a game and kicking you 3 goals 2 and dragging you over the line, but it's not his job.
No, that's right. At the moment, that's not his job. And I'm with you. I just don't think it's smart to go suggesting he's not up to the standard, especially after a game like that in the wet.
Yeah. But I think you're right, though. Like, it doesn't say that he's, you know, he may not be up to the standard at all. Like, he may not be up to AFL standard.
Right.
But give him a chance.
Exactly. You want a fair body of work or to make an assessment. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So. Hey, something else that happened this week, and it feels a bit weird that it's going to happen for the second year in a row, and especially with this guy, because you feel like he's a Freo man kind of through and through almost, and that's Griffin Logue. And I think it was an interview with Pav he did on the news during the week, and it kind of got brought up that he was frustrated at being left out a couple of times this year by Freo and playing down at Peel, and saying that his form's been pretty consistent, but he's now put off his contract talks till the end of the season. I don't know how to feel about this. I think Griffin Logue's a player that we definitely want to keep.
Yes.
It feels a bit of game playing, whether it's by his management or I don't know who else, but it does raise a pretty interesting conversation around the key backs down at Freo.
Absolutely does. But I think in this situation or this instance, it's like the election, JoJo. We've got to do this dance again. Put the contract talks off until the end of the year. It's a dance we do so often. And isn't it? Every second player does it, you know. So I'm with you. And I watched that interview. And to be honest, it sounded like it was entirely orchestrated. And I don't want to, he's got a lot of money, Colin Young. I don't want him to sue me. But it sounded like he wrote the script and said, here, Griff, you know, learn this and go hit your old mate Pav up for an interview. That's what it sounded like to me. So
I'm sure he was just scheduled for an interview by Freo Media. So I don't think his agent would have booked that. But the agent, like in terms of Colin Young, I mean, we saw him last year with Rory Lobb trying to get a trade across the line to send him over to GWS.
Yep.
But it goes to show that you can't burn your bridges at any point, whether you're the club or the agent, with each other, because you just have to deal with each other on so many matters on a continual basis, don't you? I mean, to think that if Lobb wants out again at the end of the year, we're going to be dealing with Colin Young and whatever club that is interested possibly in Rory Lobb. And then if Griffin Logue wants to leverage us against a different club, we'll be dealing with that club and Colin Young to get him signed up to stay on at Freo. Like,
it's pretty hard, you know, because it does, and especially if the agent's got a number of players at your club, you know, and a lot of these agents do, they hold a little bit of leverage there, don't they, at times?
Thinking about the key defenders, though, and we spoke last week about Cox, Pierce and Logue, and how we kind of end up being a bit tall and unable to maybe defend the breadth of talent on other teams' forward line. We saw Isaac Rankin kind of get off the chain and do a bit of damage for Gold Coast against us last week.
Yep.
We thought we looked a lot better, a lot more balanced when Brandon Walker came in the side. He's been omitted this week. And Pierce, Cox and Logue are all in. Are you of the opinion that we can't play all three consistently going forward? Because I think that's now my point of view. Even though my first choice back seven at the start of the year was Cox, Young, Pierce, Logue, Chapman, Young and Clark.
Yeah.
I don't know that in reality that's our best lineup.
Well, I don't think we'd be in this situation we're in if it was. You know, there wouldn't be this talk about Griffin Logue getting dropped or wanting to, you know, it just wouldn't happen. So that kind of tells you we can't run with that back line all the time, even though we're doing it this week. You know,
it's going to be interesting this week, I think, because, you know, they've gone with the three of them again. And one of the things that stands out, and it stood out all year when the three of them have been on the same side, we've had trouble defending that small guy who gets front and center and defending the ground ball.
Yep.
And last week we lost ground balls in defensive 50. And this week we're going to come up against a forward line that's got a guy that I rate pretty highly. He's had a lot of injury problems in his career and, you know, hasn't been able to get a consistent run at it. But Jamie Elliott's back in the side for Collingwood. And he's a guy that plays tall and small. So maybe that's the reason why, you know, you could play one of these guys on him. But you've got him, you've got Ginnivan. And I don't reckon we've got defensive cover to really shut those guys down if the ball hits the deck.
Josh Dacos, another one.
Yeah.
I'm with you. We'll get to the selections eventually, but I'm stunned that they've left Walker out again. So what would be the, you know, especially, and isn't it forecast for rain as well?
Well, I think so. That's disappointing. Yeah. it's interesting, isn't it, with the way the side's composed. Yeah. I would love if Cox and Logue and Pierce can all play in the same team. But I reckon we've seen it it come into effect and work well, especially this year. Which it makes me think, you know, if you all those three guys are first choice AFL players. So let's not beat around the bush. Like Cox is an AFL player, Pierce obviously an AFL player, Logue's an AFL player. They're not players that you can have sitting at Peel in case someone else gets injured and then bring them in. Like those guys want to play footy each week and they want to play at AFL level. Yeah. So and they're deserved of playing at AFL level.
Hmm.
But whether they can play in the same side is another thing. If you had to lose one of them, if you're Frio and you say, okay, get to the end of this year, team balance, it's not going to work. We can't have Cox, Pierce and Logan all in the back 50 defending altogether.
Yeah.
Who do you pick to cut loose or trade or whatever come the end of the season?
This isn't an enjoyable task, Jojo. I'm not going to lie. I'm not enjoying this one, but I'm going to have to put my man Brendan Cox on the table. Because I think, as we were discussing earlier, off the air, he just doesn't have the versatility that Griffin Lowe gives you. And I think at the moment he's also got some currency.
I mean, it's interesting with Cox. I mean, he's got the poise and, you know, he's got time on the footy when he gets ball in hand. He's really good as an interceptor. So he's got skills that are highly valued within, you know, I'm sure AFL teams would look at him and say, we could definitely do with a guy like that.
Yeah.
But in terms of the defensive side of the ball, I think you're right. He kind of lacks that versatility where, you know, we saw Griffin Logue shut down, and we brought it up the other week, Charlie Curnow, and we saw him shut down Jeremy Cameron. Charlie Curnow kicked another 6 goals and destroyed the game tonight.
Yep.
But I don't think I feel comfortable with Brendan Cox taking on Charlie Curnow.
Absolutely not.
And then conversely, if you're looking at that same team at them at full strength and Harry Mackay, I don't think I'm feeling comfortable with Brendan Cox standing Harry Mackay either.
Brendan Cox and Alex Pearce doing the bulk of the, that's exactly why.
Logue gives you the ability to go with one of those mobile key forwards that gets up and around the ground and you know is real busy. So this week, you know, you'd see him marking maybe a Majacek, you know, that workhorse kind of forward who just doesn't stop. He's got a good aerobic capacity, you know, decent set of mitts, and you know he gets up and down and. And really provides a constant option for his team. And then you've got Pierce, who maybe pick up a Cox or a Darcy Cameron if he's resting forward or someone of that nature.
Yeah.
And then on the weekend, Cox is just going to pick up the next tallest guy.
Yeah.
So I think if our backline doesn't function as well with those three guys, I think you're right. I think Cox is the one that has to go.
To go. And that doesn't please me to say that, Jojo. We're not trying to get rid of him. We're not, you know, saying he's definitely up to it. But for team balance and whatever else.
And then and this is just a hypothetical conversation, by the way. I'm not saying I want to get rid of Brendan Cox because I don't. But it's like if they get to round 22, round 23, and we say, okay, let's reflect back on the season and let's look at our best mix of defenders, and we say, okay, we were too tall, we'd be crazy not to cash in one of these guys and at least get something back for him. And maybe we can use that currency then to bolster the midfield or bolster the forward line, an area where we do need a bit of extra work.
Yeah. Didn't he just buy a house, Brendan Cox?
Yeah, the Bash brothers split up. I think he just moved out. So
we should give him some notice so he can take advantage of this high market.
Yeah. So let's say we traded Brendan Cox.
Yeah.
Have you got a hypothetical trade for me?
I've got a ridiculous hypothetical trade that I'm just going to run with anyway, Jojo. I'm just going all out to try and get Luke Jackson to the club. Now, the D's need another Brendan Cox like a hole in the head, but I'm giving them Coxie and our first rounder for Luke Jackson. Because, I mean, they could probably on-trade Brendan Cox to someone else for another high pick.
This sounds more like you're just trying to force Luke Jackson through the doors down at Coburn.
That's exactly what I'm trying to do.
This is why in our fantasy league no trades get done, because people fail to look at what the other team might want. Rather, focus on what you want.
Well, what's yours? Where are you? I mean, I know that's ridiculous, but who are you? You'll have something sensible. Where who are you going with?
Well, I reckon something like, you know, we know he's from South Australia. People like to go home. You think a team like Adelaide, it seems to be one of the things that teams want to put into place early in their rebuilds and they're kind of restructuring their team. So what about something like Brendan Cox in our first round pick and trade that to Adelaide for their first round pick. So maybe our pick lands at like 12, 13, 14, something like that.
Ah.
They're going somewhere 5, 6. So we move up in the draft. I don't know, something like that.
Shut up. What didn't I think of that? That's pretty, that's actually.
Anyway, it'd be interesting to see. And it'd be interesting to see if the conversation actually takes place, because I think it'd become more evident as the season ticks on.
Yeah.
If this kind of lineup's continued with.
Yeah.
If it works, I think it'd be fantastic for Freo, because we've got those three tall guys there, and it gives us great flexibility and be able to guard opposition forward lines if they do decide to go tall.
Tall, yeah.
But if we get exposed on the deck,
yeah,
and we can't do it, I don't know. I can't see how the three of them stay on the. And then you got to remember as well, we got Hamling at Pino as well,
another one.
So yeah. Anyway,
could we work with Rochelle into that deal?
I don't think they're letting him go.
Yeah.
I don't think they're letting him go. The skipper Nat Fyfe, he's ramping up his training. He's getting into some crash and bash stuff, according to JL, this week at training, and he'll be ramping it up over the course of the next couple of weeks, looking at a round 12 return against Brisbane. I reckon after the weekend's performance against Gold Coast and our contested footy, there'll be more people on the bandwagon with Nat Fyfe coming back into the team than what there were the week before, do you reckon?
Absolutely. And it's, as we said, it's an area that we have been beaten in all year in the centre clearances. But it's the perfect time, I think, JoJo, sort of halfway through the year. You know, we've got a team of youngsters. Brody's been working his tail off all year. I'm not saying he goes out, but Fyfe just comes in and takes a bit of pressure off them all, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's ideal.
And I think that, you know, depending on how the next couple of weeks go, it'll be really perfect timing almost for him to come in at round 12. He'll get a 10-week lead into the finals, but it'll give us the extra kick we need, I think.
Yeah.
You know, we've had a really good start to the season. A lot of things have gone right. You know, a lot of players have taken their game up a notch. But hopefully that'll just give us the little fillip we need to kind of kick on that a little bit further.
Yeah, that's right. And you made mention, I think last week, whenever it was, of the video of Fyfe back in training with no shoulder tape on. Yeah, and how good that was to see. Imagine if he comes back in the same nick as Paddy Cripps did without all the tape and all that.
You know? We just can't see the tape on the back or the back brace or whatever he's wearing under the jumper. That's fine.
He might come back with the long sleeves, Fyfe, so we can't see it. There was something about that today.
Something else that was brought up was saying that, you know, he can expect to play the rest of the season, if not the rest of his career, through a bit of pain. Is that anything, or is that something that – as a, you know, a veteran AFL player, you think probably most players would go through?
Oh, I think there wouldn't be too many going around that wouldn't be carrying of that age, that wouldn't be carrying something. I think he could probably carry it as good as, if not better than anyone.
He must have been doing it for a while anyway, right? Like how long would it be? You know, he's had the broken legs, the shoulders, you name it, he's probably had it. I don't reckon that guy's played pain-free for a good number of years now.
No, I reckon it takes him half an hour to get out of bed in the morning. Poor bugger, but he's one that, he will carry it. He'll carry it really well.
Connor Blakely, you know, I'm not saying we've been on his bandwagon to get a game, but I reckon we put the petition out there when times are tough and we were, 5, 6 changes a week with a few protocol entries and whatever else. Doesn't look like it's going to happen for him. He's started a lawn care business.
Blakely's backyards or something, isn't it?
Yeah. I thought everyone's got to get around him, don't they? I mean, think what you want of him and his contract and not being able to get a game, but the Freo people, they've got to get around Blakely's backyards, don't they?
Got to get around. If you've got a backyard, get Connor on the phone. You know, like his career at Freo's over. We know that. There's been obvious, as you just said, there's been obvious situations where, you know, he would have been picked this year if he was going to be, but he hasn't. So needs a pickup. You want him to, you know, cut your grass literally, not metaphorically, but but you know, and the thing that we've done, JoJo, and if people can follow our lead if they want, you know, and again, at times we've had a bit of fun at his expense too, haven't we? Let's be honest. But it's never been personal. But support the individual, challenge the behaviour. One of the Ross Lyonisms. So we thought we'd chip in and support him. So we bought a couple of Blakely's backyard caps. We'll put a photo up on social media. How good are they? You walk about, put that on your head, you walk about 10 feet tall. I can't land a handball or a kick, but I'm getting around all right with one on. So yeah, so get on the Connor Blakely, what is it, Blakely's Backyards. Backyard. Yeah.
You'll have him look after all the tennis courts at all your investment properties and stuff, I'm sure, wouldn't you?
Hilarious. All the polo. You could get him doing all the polo fields around the state, Jojo. That'd be your game. Let's organise that for him. Yeah, good contract.
All right. So the game this Sunday.
So Doug Nicholls round, Jojo.
Yeah. So it's a good round, isn't it? I mean, if not, I was watching the front bar the other night, and some of the boys they had Derek Kickett and Nicky Wimmer on together, and then Darryl White. Darryl White was bloody hilarious.
he's hysterical, isn't he?
Mate, he's so funny. And then some of the highlights, like the audaciousness to try some of the stuff that he did. Yeah. They played it a couple of times, that torpedo from the left full forward pocket where he said he'd hit 1 out of 50 in training but still had a crack at it in the game.
That's good.
I know you're big on Freo history, and like we've got a rich Indigenous history. Have you got a favourite Indigenous Freo docker? Or let's even open it up further. Have you got a favourite Indigenous VFL, AFL player?
I hate this question because you can't have enough picks. I've got my trio: Gary Durko, Scotty Chisholm, and Winston Abraham. I'm not going to pick within those three, Jojo. I just can't. Mate, if you had a gun at my head, Gary Durko, my all-time favourite. Loved him.
I'm a Winnie man myself.
Winnie man. I know. It's just too hard to pick because I want to pick Winnie as well.
I was shattered when he got traded to North Melbourne. I went and bought a North Melbourne number 15 jumper, even though I never went for North Melbourne. I just couldn't believe we got rid of him.
That's bizarre, wasn't it? That was bizarre. And both of them, Gary went with him, or a year later.
Gary Durko.
So how many have we got? What have we got in this guy at the club at the moment? Who have we got? We've got Alex Pearce, Liam Henry, Joel Hamling, Eric Manning, Roy Benning, Nathan Wilson, and Mickey Walters. So only Walters and Pearce are playing this week. So they'll represent as well.
Oh, Mickey Walters. I mean, what an ambassador he is for a game like this.
Yep.
I mean, what he's managed to do with his career, you know, the many different phases of it, you know, when he was challenged at the beginning of his career to even get a start, and then to come on and be the player he is.
The insults he's had to deal with, getting traded to Gold Coast. What a guy, Jojo. In fact, it's actually hard to leave him out of your all-time favourites.
I know. It feels wrong. But maybe when he retires, maybe it's like the artist, you know, like a famous artist when they die. Maybe it's like his art appreciates once he's retired.
Don't say that. What, you got him kicking the bucket now?
You know what I mean? You know, like if you own a piece of art, you want the artist to die so it goes up. You know, if you got the Kobe Bryant rookie card, you want him to retire.
Hang in there, Sonny. Go to your doctor, get checked out.
No, but you always appreciate people more when they're finished.
Absolutely, you do.
So speaking of ins this week, Mickey Walters obviously in with Matt Taverner back from his hamstring. Sam Sitkowski in with his coming out of concussion protocols. Dropped Walker, Tucker, Tracy and Erasmus. Pretty predictable there, I would have thought. Exception of Walker, I would have liked to see him stay in, but is what it is. You'd think the medical sub would come from one of those four, so we're not going to get Banfield playing as the medi sub, which is what I wish for him to be medi sub in perpetuity down at Freo, but not going to happen. So you'd think probably Walker, Tucker or Erasmus. It's kind of hard to pick, isn't it?
It really is, isn't it? And I think...
Maybe Tucker. Maybe they got Tucker.
I mean, where's Darcy Tucker at, Jojo? Just quickly.
Yeah. Well, is it like a thing where as we get towards full strength, you know, it's who's going better, him or James Aish or probably out of the two of them almost, you know? Like, because they do kind of perform similar tasks where they, you know, they'll head up on the wing, they'll play in the middle, they'll play at a half back. They're kind of those guys that you throw around in those spots that we don't really have nailed down.
Yeah.
And I think it's pretty obvious that Aishi's going better than Darcy Tucker at the moment. So maybe that's just why he misses out. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, he's going, and you don't like to say it, but he's going terrible. You know, he's averaging 12 touches a game and a tick over a tackle a game this year. Kicked just the 3 goals. You know, and we know stats aren't everything, but he just hasn't taken that next step that we thought he might this year so far.
No, I don't think it's through lack of effort or application. I think he's had some really good moments in games. And
yeah.
I remember he had some really important moments in the Geelong game, especially where he put his body on the line and made some really good physical contests right when it mattered at the end of the match. So, you know, I don't think it's necessarily his application or, you know, his effort.
No.
But, yeah, it's not happening for him 100%.
And it's a shame. I hope he is the medical sub because if he does come in, it'll be the most game ever with the number of Darcys. Darcy Moore, Sean Darcy, Darcy Cameron, Darcy Tucker. Most game ever, Jodo. And that record stands as long as nobody fact checks it.
So. For Collingwood, they've got Ginnivan, Elliott, Cox, Nathan Murphy and Pendlebury. So Pendlebury comes into line up against his other old-time mate, Dave Mundy. Out goes Aiden Begg, Caleb Poulter, Callum Brown, Finn McRae, Jack Madgen, and Ollie Henry. So you'd have to say that the ins probably outweigh the outs for them. They get a bit stronger from where the previous week.
Well, they've got some massive ins, haven't they?
Yeah. Yeah, I think Elliott and Ginnivan coming in, I think really strengthens their forward line and kind of puts our back line under a little bit of pressure.
Yeah. Pendlebury, you never want to play against him. I was a bit surprised Ollie Henry got left out. I thought he's been pretty good. He kicked 3 points last week, but he was dangerous.
He's busy, isn't he? He just and I liked him in the draft. I thought we could have had a crack at him instead of Chapman. How wrong was I? But but I don't mind his game. If he had capitalized on his opportunities last week, he could have ended up with a mini bag. But he was busy up forward. So yeah, you're right. It is surprising he's out. But I suppose with Elliott coming in, you've got that kind of guy that's going to command a bit of footy up forward. Yep. Is there a particular area of Collingwood side that kind of you're worried about? I mean, you've got Degoe who bobs up in games and he seems to play in patches, you know, have like a really busy patch for 5, 6, 7 minutes where he might get a couple of clearances, kick a goal.
Yeah.
But he's kind of still yet, and he's constantly compared to like the Dustin Martins and these kind of guys. Not in stature and not in performance, but his potential to be someone of that caliber.
Yeah.
But he's never really been able to string any kind of length of period in a game or a season together to really command that same kind of stature in the game.
No, I agree. But you know he's capable.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And at any given 100%. Day, he's going to, you know, wheel that game out. So really, I think he is quite a danger. Could be quite a danger in this game. Brady Mychek, I know we've got Griffin Logue on him, so that'll help, but he gets amongst us. He is just that, as you called him early on, the workhorse. And he just bobs up and kicks 3 on you all the time. And so there's another one, but yeah, I'm a little bit relaxed with Griff on him.
I can't remember if we mentioned on the podcast or whether I was just talking to mates about it, but the fact that we went after him a couple of years ago, was it last year when he was a free agent, and thinking, you know, why the hell do we want this guy for?
Yeah.
But he'd be the perfect forward in a Fremantle forward line at the moment. Oh. That hardworking guy where defense is almost, he's like a mature version of Josh Tracy.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. That is what he's like. And he's just so consistent. So, yeah, he could. And the other guy, Jojo, that I'm a bit worried about, Jack Crisp. Him running through the middle, he's having a ripping year and probably on track for a career best year. And this year he's kicking goals as well. So always gets amongst it. Hard to stop.
I think something for a concern for, or not a concern for Freo, but something to keep an eye on is, you know, we got smashed in the contested footy and contested possessions and clearances last week.
Yeah.
Something that Craig McRae seems to be trying to instill into the team since he's taken over is that contested part of the game where even the young guys are being, you know, his criticism of the way they played previously was they played a little bit too much of an uncontested brand.
Yes.
So he's taken it upon himself to kind of retrain the whole squad in contested footy and getting in and cracking in.
Yep.
So I think if nothing else, they're really going to provide a contest come Sunday.
Yeah, I think that's it. That's what we've got to be prepared for. And be prepared for a bit of rain, believe it or not.
It wasn't just the rain last week. I think that's a little bit disingenuous.
It's just the rain. Rain makes things wet and slippery. It's the rain.
I think West Australian rain is going to be a little bit different than tropical Queensland rain with the humidity, the heat, the slipperiness.
Come from the sky, Jodo. It's all the same.
Oh, mate, come on.
Just be ready for it.
Sean Darcy will be looking for a bit of a bounce back game, I reckon. He got beaten. And I think, let's not say convincingly, but he was clearly beaten by Jared Witts last week.
Convincingly.
He was?
Yes, he was meeting convincingly. He really was.
Yeah,
I really believe that. But everybody's entitled to a dead one occasionally. He gets amongst it this week. Darcy Cameron and the sunglasses man. What's his name? Cox. Mason Cox.
Yeah.
He's got it. He's got to dominate, doesn't he?
Yeah, definitely does. 100%. Because, I mean, he should be outsizing Cameron. And he should be out muscling Cox. So he's got a discernible advantage over both those guys. He should be giving his first use in the middle. Something that I think, and you think about how many inside 50s we had last week and how little we utilized them.
Yeah.
We're going to have to be careful this week. You've got Darcy Moore, Jeremy Howe down there. This isn't a week to just throw it on the boot and try and hit the top of the square.
No.
We're lucky to have Switkowski back in the team, lucky to have Walters back in the team. They're going to be smarter. They're going to get up the field and present and provide a bit more of an option to guys wanting to lower their eyes.
Yeah.
But we can't afford to bomb the ball in this week.
No way. And what, you got Maynard down there, Taylor Adams?
Well, that's the thing. These guys intercept, and guys like Maynard, Chris, Quainer, they're off. They're gone. Yes. And even Pendlebury. Like, you get the ball in either of those guys' hands,
and
they're going to set up Collingwood pretty well to make a foray forward.
Tough game, Jota. It's not going to be an easy game for sure.
They're a weird team, aren't they? I mean,
yes.
They're not a rebuilding team. They're much like we tried to do, which is to rewire and replumb and restump, because they do have, I don't know, they're missing Grundy, they're missing a few other guys, but they've got a lot of like quality AFL players still in the team, and a lot of guys who, if their team wasn't in this period, they'd probably be playing more prominent roles, but they're giving the younger guys more opportunity.
Yeah.
But you got guys like Taylor Adams is a gun footy player.
Yeah.
Still side bottom whilst he's getting older, he still gets the job done.
Yep.
As we mentioned, Pendlebury, you don't want the ball in his hands with time because he's going to hit the target. They brought Lipinski over from the Bulldogs, who's having a really good season for them. And, he's always just craved opportunity. And I think he's getting that at Collingwood and showing everyone what he can do. They've had guys like Ginnivan pop up and kick goals in the forward line.
Josh Dacos.
Yeah, or even Josh Dacos. Josh Dacos, like, speak about ugly duckling.
Yes.
Nick Dacos comes in as the, number two pick.
Yep.
Whatever, even if he was going to be, maybe he was going to be the number one pick if it was a fair draft. But he's received all the kind of plaudits and all the publicity. Yep. Josh Dacos is having a hell of a year. And he's for the guy that... maybe he's the who was the Travis Cloak was the good Cloak, and then Collingwood drafted Cameron Cloak, and then there was another Cloak before that. They drafted two crap Cloaks to get one good Cloak.
Yeah, they did.
And if Josh Dacos is the crap Cloak that he had to take to get the good Dacos, he's performing it really, really well, and he's a player that you're kind of starting to have to take a look at before the game starts and say we'll keep an eye on him.
Going back to your thought on what Craig McRae is trying to instill in him. Josh Dacos had something like 10 tackles in a game the other week. He hadn't had 10 tackles for his career before that. So it's like he's resonated with him too. So pretty dangerous across the board, Jodo.
We've had their measure the last time, a couple of times we've played him. What are we, beat him by 22 points? Then we beat him by 12 points, and we beat him by 4 points. So going back to 2019, we played him once a year. We have had him covered. But I think you're right. I don't think this is a lay down Mazaire. And you can't just flip your form.
No.
We didn't play well last week. And whether that was because of Gold Coast or not, I don't, it's obviously got a lot to do with Gold Coast. But we've shuffled our team around. We've got probably closer to our better team back on the park this week. We've really got to play our best footy to get over these guys. It's not going to be an easy game.
No, it's not. But I think we've got a little bit of an advantage, mental advantage, knowing last week's result and the performance. Because you would think that the criticism they caught, that would sting a little bit, and I'd have to come out and show a response, show some sort of solid response this week. So I think there's a little bit of something extra motivation there. Not that you should need it, but I think it's there.
Yep. And it's important that we get momentum ticking back up again and like feeling good about ourselves, because we've got Melbourne coming up, and like obviously that's the game I've been looking forward to after we got humbled by Gold Coast last week. But you know, we want to be hitting them head full of steam and you know, chock full of confidence and give them a good crack, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's about it for that game. So what are you confident we're going to get over the line here? I reckon we should get up.
Home game. I'm confident. I don't know what the market is. I haven't had a look at the market, but what's our term? Cautiously optimistic.
Well, if you looked at the market, you probably wouldn't be happy because Dockers are $1.25 to win. Magpies at $3.85. I think that's a bit skewed. I'd probably be taking the Magpies at those.
I'm on the Magpies. That'll do. Now, is that the market? That's ridiculous. It shouldn't be that far apart.
That's a bit crazy, isn't it?
That is weird. Yeah. But let's hope the bookies are right.
Yeah.
Jojo, someone I've got to have a bit of a crack at. Our former man, Jimmy Clement, the Frenchman. Now, he's on the board down there. We tried to get him on the pod, remember? And I even went as far as to buy a whole bunch of shares in his company to get him over the line. And when I spoke to him and I said, mate, how about coming on the pod? He put the hand up, said, no, I can't while I'm on the club's board. I said, okay, that's fair enough. I get that. And he said, whenever I don't have a position at the club, I'll come on. I said, beautiful, no worries. Flick on Twitter today, JoJo. Next minute he's on the Collingwood Pie Hard podcast. Now, I mean, good on those guys for getting him on. What the hell, Jimmy? What's going on there, JoJo? What is going on there? What have we snubbed us as well? Everybody snubs us. I don't blame him. I'd snub us. But I'm a little concerned that he was very, very willing to reunite with his former friendly colleagues at this particular time. We got a double agent on the board, JoJo. Treasonous. So what's going on there, JoJo? Why wouldn't he come on us and go on the
I don't know.
The pie hard.
I think maybe we need to lower our expectations, and no offense to Maddie or Jordan McArdle, because that was great having them as guests on the podcast, but could be going too much. Who's a more realistic target? I mean, we've been rejected by Crowes. I tried to get Groves on, my old mate Andy Grover. He didn't reply to the message. I messaged Jonathan Brown. He's ignored us.
Yeah, that's lowering the expectations.
Nick Giannopoulos, I tried to get him on.
You tried to get him on. So we aimed for the stars and failed.
Yeah.
Time to reel it in a bit. So, jeez. Come on, Jimmy. I'm selling those shares tomorrow.
Maybe that's why I didn't come on. I know what you're like. I know what you're like calling your ASX-listed companies looking for a little bit of extra information here and there.
Maybe that is it. I put him through the ringer. I said, mate, come on, give me something. Wouldn't, tight lip. Played a very, very straight bat. Wouldn't give me anything. So, JoJo, we've got to wish congratulations to Trev Collier and his partner, Elise or Eloise, is it? They announced Trev Jr. will be arriving sometime in October, apparently. Now, I saw that today and then I jump on Twitter. The Swamp Thing, JoJo, there is no stat or nothing he doesn't know. Now, he or she, I don't know if you saw this, he or she tweeted, I don't know if the Swamp Thing is a he or a she, I'm not sure, tweeted, congrats to the Colliers on their imminent arrival. Their baby will be the first baby in history to be born taller than its dad. How about that for a tweet? Don't go looking for that tweet. I'm not sure. You might not find it. I don't know if it's still there. But the Swamp Thing, he's a ripper. So good on Trav. It could be another father-son prospect if he plays another 100 games with us. 150.
It might be a struggle.
Oh, no. So, hey, just quickly, Jada, we've got a good neighborhood watch. Have you got that jingle there?
Okay, hang on.
Play the bloody jingle.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor?
Yes, Jojo, a neighborhood watch again. Now, they've been belted, haven't they? The poor Eagles, they have been belted from pillar to post pretty much this year. And most of it is self-inflicted, but they've been belted nonetheless. And now today, they put a line through Oscar Allen and put him on ice for the rest of the season. Not sure that's wise, but I'd like to know who ruled that line through him. And I'm pretty sure it might have been old Oscar himself. You know, he's suffering the stress-related team horrendous performance-itis. So he might thought of, I'll use that and out for the year. Anyway, Jojo, when the chips are down on the field, you can't get near it. You just got to get out there and get your hands on the pill. Now, that being the case, who shows up to help out this week? The club's favourite son, Johnny Worsfold. Talking about getting your hands on the pill. What a player, Jojo. What a player Worsfold was. Uncompromising. And as a coach, oh, the chemistry. The chemistry he had with his players. Now, he's gone down there giving them all a peptide. I mean, a pep talk. But he brought them in and, you know, told them they all need to relax, get back to basics and embrace the uppers and downers. The ups and downs. So good on Washer, Jojo. How good's that? You know, let's hope his calming influence gets them back on track. And they're pretty fortunate when you think about it. You know, in these times where COVID is causing havoc, they're able to bring in a pharmacist. How can they just keep falling backwards into good fortune? So good on them, Jojo. Good on them, and go well. Go well this weekend. That's all fair, isn't it? Are we going to get sued for that? We can't get sued, really.
Yeah, on one of your points, though, it does seem like a few of those guys are doing whatever they can to get themselves out of the lineup. Like seeing...
Can you blame them?
Seeing Liam Ryan bump Bowie in the head. It was like he was looking for a 4-week suspension, and when he only got one, then all of a sudden he's pulled a hamstring. He had time to have a think about it. Then he was giving high fives to the Melbourne guys. Like, what a weird game that was to watch. Anyway, I'll tell you what I'm doing on the weekend. I'm going to take little Sonny down to Fremantle Oval. We're going to watch Peel. There is a bunch of Dockers that are not in the ones playing against Souths on Saturday. I reckon that'll be a good game to watch.
That's nice to get an invite.
You're welcome to come.
Oh, right. Not after I have to prompt you. Prompt the invite. No, that'll be great, won't it? That'll be a great game.
Well, we'll get to see Tracy Sturt and Amos in the same forward line, you'd think.
Yeah, Matty Johnson.
Matty Johnson making his debut.
Yep.
Warner and Henry on a wing each. Maybe, Darcy Tucker and Wilson and Hamling and Hughes down back. It'll be almost the full complement of 15 AFL-listed players being allowed to play, you would think.
Yeah.
Unless they arrest some guys or bring some up as emergencies. But, you know, we should almost see a full complement.
When is it? When's that going?
Saturday, Arvo, I think, 2 o'clock down at Freo Oval against Souths.
I might see you there. I might get down there.
Yeah. But, you know, we've been speaking about continuity. We've been speaking about, squad depth.
Hmm.
Hopefully now we've had that little period of COVID interruption. We can get back to, rounds three to eight where we kind of ran through and had the same lineup and, had a bit of consistency, had that chemistry between midfield and forward.
Yeah.
Get back to that for that middle period of the season, because as we kind of noted pre-season, the draw gets a lot harder from here on in.
What do we got? I think we got the D's twice, have we? The D's twice and Brisbane and the Bulldogs, and gets very tough from here.
Yeah. All right. That's about it. You got anything else? Don't think you do.
Pretty much done, Jojo. Are you buying lunch on Saturday? That'll be the deciding factor if I get down there or not.
Yeah, I'll buy a pie and chips.
No, I want something a bit better than that.
It's a late lunch. It'll just be a quick one. I'll just get you a soup. You just get some soup. Oh, well, if I don't see you on Saturday, I'll talk to you on Monday after a Fremantle win over Collingwood. Until then, are you still down with the re-stomp?
Oh, look, 10% of your life is what happens to you. 90% of your life is how you respond.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time. So, yeah.